This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Wait long enough, the South will win the war.
I just lost Lori.
Okay, folks, we are back. I guess Lori's on mute or something. But anyway, we're back. We were talking peppers, Rick, and I'm finding this discussion very interesting, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it. Do we want to stay on peppers, or we want to go to something else?
Well, I wasn't quite finished. Let me finish up, and we'll move along. The peppers, you know, come in all Scoville units. You can never tell if you've got them in the garden. Sometimes a bee will cross-pollinate one, and you will get a mild pepper that will just knock your pants off. And it's just an accident. That's just Mother Nature doing what it does. But things like cayenne pepper, I cannot eat red pepper. It just knocks the slats out of my barn door. But cayenne, I can eat it all day long, and I don't know why. It's just the way things are. I've never tried the Aruba Cubanelle, but I'm going to. What I ordered this morning before the show was I'm going to try some of those Invincible Roma-style tomatoes. I've already got the Tachis. The Invincibles, you know, if the Tachi, you know, because they're asking, what do they want? They want $10 for 50 seeds, but the Invincible is $8 for 50, so you get a little bit better deal. I'm getting gardening questions. Texts. I ordered those. I ordered another two packages of Sun Gold tomatoes. I don't ever want to run out of those. I ordered a package of Tabasco, which I find to be a very useful pepper. For those of you that haven't figured it out, basically comes from Tabasco, Mexico. And can you imagine? What do you think they do with Tabasco peppers? Anybody have a guess?
I don't know what they do with it.
Yeah. Well, they make Tabasco sauce. So.
Well, yeah. I thought you were talking something different or special. Okay.
No, there are people that never put it together. Tabasco sauce is Tabasco sauce, and Tabasco peppers couldn't possibly have anything to do with it. That's the way they look at it. I ordered some long slim cayennes and the Aruba Cubanelle. If I can, I'm going to be very interested to see where that goes because I do love stuffed peppers. Once again, not a bad deal. Almost all those peppers you're talking, the Aruba Cubanelle is 60 days of maturity, whereas things like the jalapeno are 70 DTM. For those of you that need a minor education, DTM just means days of maturity. Poblanos, 70. Pepperoncini, 65. Tabasco, 65. Cayenne, 65. Aruba Cubanelle, 60. All of them are $4 for 30 seeds. That's not bad. That's a lot of damn peppers. You'll probably see on the package, you've got probably a 90-something percent germination rate. That's going to be enough. One of the things that I mentioned several times, but it is worth talking about, and I swear it's one of the best $25 I ever spent, is on the siphon feeder that they have at Haas Tools. This siphon garden feeder is a brass nozzle about 3 or 4 inches long with a venturi in it. You screw it onto a hose, and then you screw another hose onto that, but they don't want you to use a hose that's very long for the last hose, maybe 25 feet. But this the brass Typhon feeder has a little quarter-inch spigot that comes out the side, and it sips liquid. As water flows through the venturi, it will sip up anything that it is connected to, and it has a quarter-inch tube that comes off of it about 4 or 5 feet long, and you drop it in a bucket or something. If you're dropping it in a bucket of fertilizer and you're just doing straight feeding, then it's a cup. So what you would do is put a gallon of water in a bucket and a cup of Miracle-Gro, and at that point you're shooting 16 to 1, which would be standard rate, which would be 1 tablespoon of Miracle-Gro per gallon. That's standard rate. When I was younger, I had a friend who I went to school with, and at some point, lo and behold, he wound up doing a very strange thing. He wound up starting what was called the Don Brogan Pet Ranch, pet something. But what it actually was while he did have a certain number of animals there, he also had one of the best greenhouses that I have ever seen in my life. And his plants, you just hardly ever see anything like this. His plants look like they all came from the Botanical Society. So I had to ask the question. I said, "Don, how are you doing this? How are you doing what you're doing?" And he said, "Well, we are spoon-feeding the plants every single time we water. They get a trace amount of fertilizer." And I got to thinking about it. Around here, we feed all of the flowers and the vegetables every 2 weeks. Well, that's probably all right. But what if we did what he did? Nobody that I know wants to eat every 2 weeks. So maybe plants were happier and healthier if they get micro doses of fertilizer. So what I did was I did the math on this. So what you would do is if you took a cup and you divided it by 14 days, that's 14 days, so you come up with 1.1428 tablespoons. Okay, so if you take a gallon of water and you put in kind of a heaping tablespoon, a rounded tablespoon into that, you are now feeding 1/14 every single day. So when you're watering your flowers, which we have to do here every day, we have a large deck, and it's generally covered in flowers all summer going into the fall. And so we will try this experiment this year and see if we can't up our game. We normally have some of the best-looking flowers around because we stay after it, but I'm wondering if we can't do even better by microdosing.
Let me tell you a little story, Rick. Lori and I lived in a little town in Louisiana called Slidell, and we had this rental house, and there was a triangle-shaped piece of ground, probably 16 feet on the long side down to a point like a triangle. And we got a couple, four or five rose bushes and that really big hibiscus with the dinner plate-sized blooms. And what I would do every day when I got home from work was exactly what you're saying. And the ground was so fertile, or not fertile, but so great for the plants, that Lori accidentally cut a piece of the rose bush off and with a weed eater, and she just stuck it in the ground. And that sucker lived. No rooting hormone, no nothing. And we had this hibiscus plant that was probably 6 foot tall and just loaded with dinner plate size maroon blooms. And know. Yeah, I mean, I people would stop and take pictures.
Was that the perennial high? I guess that's the perennial hibiscus, the one that is red to maroon, kind of a oxblood color, and it comes back every year. Yeah, those are nice.
Color,
those are nice. Yeah. We have we have a tremendous vole problem around here. And voles, if you know, for Asiatic lilies and those perennial hibiscus, they will eat the roots every single winter. So we just kind of gave up on a couple of these things. Yeah, they just, you know, they just won't leave them alone. The only way I can keep any of them is, you know, to go out and put a couple drops of fox urine on them, like, you know, every couple of weeks. Well, eventually that gets pretty old. You know, you just kind of
you forget
about it. And trust me, it is very easy to forget about playing with fox urine, because one drop on you and you're like ruined for the day. So it's an easy thing to forget. And then, of course, and the voles never forget. They'll be there. If you forget, they'll be there. They'll remember, and they'll come and eat your stuff, and then it's gone. So anyway, we're going to try that. It's called a brass stipend feeder, $25 from Haas. I was so knocked out, so impressed by this thing. I bought myself two extras for me, so I've got three, and I can kind of put them in various locations, too. And I put one in every stocking. I know you folks probably remember this. Put one in every one of my kids' stockings, and we are right on the verge of them getting to use them. And so when they see what these things, I know they don't get it yet. When they see what these things do, it is going to absolutely blow them away. Feeding flowers on the deck has been an arduous task because, you know, you mix up a couple gallons in a sprinkling can, and you walk around, you know, and you pour it on the plants, and then you go back and you do it again. This one, you don't have to do that. You just fire up the hose with a wand on it or something and just go around and soak each plant. You don't have to mix anything. You're done. I mean, you just walk around with the hose and feed everything. It is going to take all of the pain out of fertilizing. And, you know, sometimes it's such a pain in the butt, you put it off, and then you kind of forget about it. And then instead of feeding every 2 weeks, now it's a third week, you know, this way. And so we have a hose spigot on the deck. So I just set it up as a permanent installation this week. I screwed the brass siphon feeder right onto the hose bib and put the hose back. And this way it can remain there when she's not necessarily feeding. But the plan here is to microdose every single day. So there will be a bucket there with a very, very dilute fertilizer. And so every day when she waters, that's what will happen. So I've got a couple more that I can use out where we grow the food. So this is going to be fascinating. I think of all the garden tools, that I think is the one that I am most impressed with. That and maybe the single tine cultivator, that is an incredibly useful tool for cultivating and uprooting weeds all around plants. You can do it from the standing position. I do love the single tine cultivator, and that siphon feeder is going to change things here. I will wind up with better looking plants, healthier plants, more fruit, bigger flowers. It's just going to be great.
I'll tell you, Rick, the microdosing thing does work, and I know that from experience. It absolutely works.
Well, you know, it's one of those things. I mean, I saw it done, and it was impressive. But then what happens is you wind up putting some of that stuff on the back burner. You kind of forget about it. You know, years go by, you don't think about it, and then all of a sudden, you're sitting around, and you're like, hey, wait a minute, I remember what this guy was doing. And I just set up this feeder, this siphon feeder. I can actually, with no trouble at all, do exactly what he did, and I don't have to go to any trouble whatsoever. All I have to do is put a gallon of water down there with one tablespoon of, one more time, we would use Miracle-Gro on the green plants, but Bloom Booster, which is also made by Miracle-Gro, but it's for flowers,
right.
or tomatoes or anything that flowers. We would use Bloom Booster on the flowers, and on the greenery, on the other stuff, we just use straight Miracle-Gro. I put the lemon tree outside because it's been flowering, and of course, you know, it did this last year. It flowered inside, and I didn't get one lemon. Well, of course, that's because at this point we aren't keeping bees in the house. Maybe someday. But I opened up. I was trying to figure out a way to get the bees, because this time of the year the bees will send out scout bees,
yeah,
trying to see what flowers might be open and where they might be. So I got out my bee commander. We talked a couple years ago about something called Bee Commander, and what I thought I would do would be to smear some Bee Commander on the trunk of the lemon tree, trying to get the scout bees to come up and fertilize my lemons.
Right.
I was sitting on the deck the other day, and we were being buzzed by a couple of scout drones. And so, you know, to that effect, I would say maybe I'm getting somewhere. But my point here would be is that I have had enough contact with doTERRA lemongrass to know what it is and what it feels like when you get it on your skin or when you accidentally wipe it on your face. It tends to sting a little bit. And this stuff, if there have been articles on the Internet saying that Bee Commander is lemongrass, and then they come out and say, oh, no, it's more than that. Well, if it's more than that, I can't figure it out. Bees glue their hive together with something called propolis, which is a waxy, brown waxy substance, sticky.
Right.
They claim that Bee Commander is a combination of propolis and lemongrass. I don't see, smell, or sense any propolis in this whatsoever. It doesn't mean it's not there, but I can't find it. So, and the stuff's incredibly watery. It appears to be, to me, a rather a diluted version of lemongrass. So, you know, if you have, and I would recommend you have, if you have doTERRA lemongrass, which is great if you hurt yourself, it's great for injuries, sprains, pains, joint pains, all that, that will certainly serve, and it is my intention. This week, I've got a short week this week, which would bring up, you know, here during our current real estate collapse, I'm having a harder time finding work than I was a year ago. So we have a short week this week, but it is my intention to just go. I'm not going to waste my time trying to build a hive, but the local farm supply has got hives. I'm going to get one up in a tree, and I'm going to put Bee Commander on there and see if I can't. You know, catch myself a hive of bees. And if I can catch two, so much the better. So this
right.
is the time of the year. This is the time of the year when the bees will divide, and they will, what do they call it when your bees leave? What do they call that?
They split from the hive. We've actually caught a swarm here always in. Well, when I had it's been at least 10 years ago, but we caught a hive on one of my plum trees. And what I did, I have a friend that keeps bees, so I just cut that branch off gently, top and bottom, and set it into a grass collector for riding lawnmower, and put a screen across the top of it, and set it in the pool in the garage, and called my friend. And, of course, he was here in 20 minutes to get it.
Well, hey, a hive of bees is down. That's a couple $100.
All right, guys, we have a break. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a break. We'll be back in a couple minutes. And when we do, we'll go to our caller in Kentucky when we get back. Hold on. Lonely days are gone. I'm going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. When she wrote me a letter, said she couldn't live without me no more. Listen, mister, can't you see I got to get back to my baby once more? Anyway, yeah, give me a
ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. The only days are gone.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
My father could use a little mercy now. The fruits of his labor falling right slowly on the ground. His work is almost over. It won't be long. He won't be around.
And welcome back to the Rural Survival Show here on RBN.
My father.
Thanks, Ken. We have a call on the line, guys. We have Jean Freed. Good morning,
Jean. Hello, all. I've got some comments and I've got some questions that I need to have answered. Some of them may not be farm-related. But anyway, speaking of comments, I grew three kinds of peppers this past season, and unfortunately I got them mixed up. When I came in the house, I would just grab a few and... So it's hard to tell the cayenne from the pepper rossini, from the banana pepper, other than the taste of them. And also with my hoops, I made the mistake of not supporting all of them well. And one of them is about flattened from the ice and the snow. Also, I made a mistake, too, of making my raised beds that I made out of hardware cloth too tall.
Oh.
Because I have to constantly water during the summer, and that's the only thing I will ever do again in my short life I have left, because I'm the age of Rick and everybody else. Okay, and let me see. And my Roma tomatoes, they did well, and I think I got one left that's still on the counter. It looks like it's yellow. I'm sure that's what it is, because I also grew some patio type from seed, and I'm hoping... Mm-hmm. I get some seeds out of it. Of course, I've got some that I bought in a package last year. And also, I've got the question that's very important to me. That I heard on another radio station that the governor of Texas was sending the National Guard door to door. Is that true? I've got to know. I don't want to pass off
Tim, you'll have to deal with that.
The National Guard
to check on the elderly. And I can tell you the source, but I will not tell you on the air. That they were going door to door. It was a 30-second clip, going door to door, checking on the elderly, and also giving out the jab. And that is scary as heck.
I doubt they're giving out shots at the door. But
I don't put past this government. You know what I mean? This evil people that run this country. You know what I'm saying? The evilness that's in man. Also,
right.
I was driving down the road.
Know.
Okay, I'm just asking. And I was driving down the road, just listening to station out of Louisville, because that's on the, I only listen to AM radio, just while I'm driving, you know, just hear the latest news.
Sure.
And unfortunately, that good-for-nothing Bashir's on, giving his update about, you know what, and I can't stand him. I scream out the window and everything. But anyway, I heard a little info commercial from Hillary Clinton advertising her podcast, and I about went through the roof.
Oh, man. Well, that must be scary.
You understand? This whole situation, I'm losing sleep. Not just because of that.
Yep.
I've got little feather girls, unfortunately, I got again, and I can't roll them and go back to sleep, you know. So it's everything's, you know. And my husband says I'm crazy, but I don't care because I believe all this crap is coming down, you know, because I've been reading books for years and listening to talk radio for many, many years, and I have nothing to do with television.
Well ma'am, I'm not crazy, but...
Hold on a second.
So you're spinning my meter here. I've got about four things to say, and I'm forgetting them all.
I understand.
First of all, when you wake up in the middle of the night, you can't get back to sleep. It's because you're thinking. Okay.
Yeah, because I have to run to the bathroom. You know, I drink a lot of water, so you know, and then my brain starts.
Well,
up.
Right. No, I don't. I run to the bathroom because I drink water and have a prostate gland, which you won't have. But
we still have problems as
being
women.
Being practical, being practical here, what you've got to do is you've got to find a way to stop yourself from thinking, and the only way you can do that is to just say Our Fathers over and over again, and eventually you will just go back to sleep. How many Our Fathers in a night would you say? The more the better, as far as I'm concerned. So, as far as the peppers go, keep them separate. Last year, by the time it was ready for everybody to get all their tomatoes in the ground, you couldn't find a tomato cage anywhere. They had wiped out the tomato cage supply. So, I'm wanted to bring this up this weekend. I'm glad that you did. I'm sure that you're probably going to use the steak, but a lot of people like to use those metal tomato cages, which I also use for peppers and eggplants. They come in various sizes, I like to use them for tomatoes, peppers, and eggplants. And so, what I'm saying to you is now, get out there right now. If you're going to get cages, get them now, because I'll just guarantee you that I'll wipe out the supply again. You already got them? Okay, good.
Yeah,
now,
I'm your age, Rick. I've been through this for almost 50 years.
Nobody is my age. Well, all right. So
yes,
now,
I am.
If you get one of these that's a little tippy, I usually will drive a stake in, right through the tomato cage.
Sure.
And then tie the tomato cage to a stake,
mm-hmm.
and that way you get some respect out of that. Once that thing starts getting a lot of fruit on it, and you get a wind or something, it's
going to
get janky. It's going to want to knock it down.
Mine went through the my hell netting. I think I'm so tall because my hoops are like 2 to 3 foot tall that I grow this stuff in. So you can imagine how tall they got. They came through the netting, and they were sticking up.
Right.
They probably thought the helicopters probably thought it was marijuana plants growing. And they come over, you know.
I think I like this woman. Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like a person looking for freedom. Yeah, another freedom ranger.
Gene, just so you know. Gene, just so you know, our engineer, Ken, because RBN is located in Texas, he said in Houston, it's not mandatory jabs. It's an offer. They're offering them if they want them.
Yeah, I just heard a competing, I'm not going to say who it was, two people repeated it. There was a news clip that came on, 30-second clip. And I'm not sure this person would lie, but I listened to two, used to be on RBN. I'm not going to say who it is. I listened to several different ones. But anyway, I mean, I don't put anything past anything. But anyway, the reason I can't go back to sleep, too, because unfortunately I got little feather girls again, and I have to get up with them. And then I can't go back to sleep. I can't relax knowing I have to go outside. I'm trying to give them away, but I can't find anybody that will take them, you know, even though I will pay them. But I don't want them stuck in a little cage like they came from. Mine roam 1/2 acre. And that's what they're used to. And right now, they've gotten a reprieve for almost a year now. But it's costing me my health. You understand?
I had four kids. I understand perfectly. Yes, I was clinically insane for about a decade because of no sleep. I know all about it. Yeah, I know exactly how this works. Was there anything else that we needed to do?
No, that's what I had comments about. And if y'all do the hoops, make sure you support them so they don't end up flat on the ground when you take the ice and the snow off of them. And also, don't do raised beds as tall as I did because you have to constantly water. And I use gravity fed from all of my sources. Let's just say sources, y'all. And those sources out there, you just have to ask.
Right.
So you can use real rainwater. Or whatever. But anyway, I love listening to y'all, and I wish everybody the best. And y'all take care and keep the faith. Thank you.
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you, ma'am.
You too.
Thanks, Gene.
Thank you.
All right, Lori, do we have anybody else waiting?
No, nobody else is waiting.
Okay. Before we move along to Silver, and with respect to that, in case we don't get back to it because we're running short of time, I'm going to tell you right now, this is going to be one of my final warnings for you. If you can get your hands on 1 ounce silver, I highly suggest you do it and do it as quickly as you can and buy just as much as you can afford. And we will talk about that if we get a second. I want to read something to you, though. It's Lent. This, to me, is absolutely fascinating. You know, Catholicism is the oldest Christian religion that there is, and it was the only Christian religion for about 1750 years, and after that there was the Protestant Reformation, and then we had a couple of other things go on there. But there's two kinds of Catholics: the big C, which would be the Catholic Church, and the little C, which is just the word for universal. So for the universal, for the universal Christian church, which is, you know, basically just all of us Christians together, that's what it is. You can still find, even though I'm not at all happy with Rome, I'm not at all happy with the politics of the church, and I don't know why I have to keep saying that. It's because they're making me look stupid, and I don't appreciate it. Paul, I heard this the other day, and my wife was kind enough to print it off for me. This is very, very interesting. I have had various thoughts like these as I get older. And I want you to hear this. It is called the Litany of Humility, written by Cardinal Mary Valzuleta. I don't know where. Anyway, it looks just like this. And maybe you'll find this interesting. Oh, Jesus, meek and humble of heart, hear me. And there, this is a responsorial, so you would say, deliver me, O Jesus. From the desire of being esteemed, deliver me, O Jesus. From the desire of being loved, deliver me, O Jesus. From the desire of being extolled, deliver me, O Jesus. From the desire of being honored, deliver me, O Jesus. From the desire of being praised, deliver me, O Jesus. From the desire of being preferred to others, deliver me, O Jesus. From the desire of being consulted, deliver me, O Jesus. There goes the show. From the desire of being approved, deliver me, O Jesus. From the fear of being humiliated, deliver me, O Jesus. From the fear of being despised, deliver me, O Jesus. From the fear of suffering rebukes, deliver me, O Jesus, from the fear of being calumniated, which means scandalized. Deliver me, O Jesus, from the fear of being forgotten. Deliver me, O Jesus, from the fear of being ridiculed. Deliver me, O Jesus, from the fear of being wronged. Deliver me, O Jesus, from the fear of being suspected. Deliver me, O Jesus, that others may be loved more than I. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be esteemed more than I. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That in the opinion of the world, others may increase and I may decrease. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. You see, as a parent, you get these feelings anyway. Somebody just put it into words, that's all. That others may be chosen and I set aside. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be praised and I go unnoticed. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be preferred to me in everything. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may become holier than I, provided that I may become as holy as I should. Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That is the litany of humility. And I think, I find interesting, and maybe it's just me, because of my age and because the experiences of my life, you know, the number of times that I've been scandalized, the number of times that I've been humiliated, either by myself or by others, the number of times that I have wanted my children to do better than I do, you know, that I always would prefer to be a stepladder for them. You have these when you're sitting quietly, these things occur to you. You'll feel them. You'll sense them. This guy just kind of put it all into words, and so, you know, if honestly, what did it take me? Maybe a minute and a half to read that. At least here for Lent, if you look up the Litany of Humility, if you just say that once a day, I think what will happen is that it will help to harden or solidify in your head some of these fleeting thoughts that you've had, where it's like one of those strange thoughts that you catch out of the corner of your eye, and just about the time you look at it, it's gone. It will help to, I think, to refocus you and to remind you why you came here, that you didn't come here for yourself. This was never about you, in so much as that it is about you only in so much as it is about your charges, the people for whom you intervene. I'll say that. So, whether you're a grandmother, grandfather, father, mother, brother, sister, whatever you are, for those people that intervene for somebody else, let's say, in terms of prayer, and you can intervene for anybody anytime. So in that you have what I would consider to be spiritual responsibilities, which you've given to yourself. This helps to focus, bring into focus who you are and what you are and why you came here, why you were created in the first place. I wanted to get that in today. You can always look it up on the internet. It's called the Litany of Humility. And I think, you know what I think we'll do is, I think from time to time we'll just run through that. It's probably a worthwhile way to spend 2 minutes. So, and I won't necessarily explain it again. We'll just run through it.
Okay. We have two callers waiting, guys.
Go ahead.
Mike in Kentucky on line 3.
Good morning, Mike.
Hey, the fear that she had, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can. 5 minutes, not my focus.
Okay, the fear that woman had in her voice, I think, was something she's got to deal with. The scale of the situation, you know, is with Texas or Kentucky or whatever, if they were going to send the National Guard out door to door, with most a bunch of them in Washington, D.C., and a bunch of them halfway around the world. I don't think people realize that if you have an occupation force of one soldier for every square kilometer, just in the lower 48 states, it would take 9 million to occupy the land mass of America. So the idea that the, you know, I don't think people realize that the governments of the world use force multipliers like fear, like that. So
that's exactly where I was going. I was hoping that you would say that, because you can do it in one spot, put it on the air, and people will think it's going to happen to them next. So you don't have to do it everywhere. You just have to put it on the news, let everybody have a look at it, and suddenly now they're all afraid.
Well, in the last, exactly. You know, that's old technology. Now we've got all these devices, Internet of Things, that they're increasingly using to find targets. And I think that as they've brought these situations on, like X-Keyscore, Fusion Center, and stuff like that, they realize they've got too many targets to deal with, I think, you know, because they just don't have enough. I've heard that there's 800,000, and I think it was on one of these whistleblower roundtables, there's 800,000 people with security clearances in the country, just in the United States. Obviously, some of those would include, like, elected officials and, you know, people that are deployed into corporations and things like that. But the increasingly, it's becoming automated in order to find people to be targeted, you know, to deal with. And then those
right.
people, if they're in the media like you guys are, you kind of are a net. You're catching fish for them, because people like me will call in and will say the right keywords, and, you know, well, we need to go look at this guy, you know, deal with what, you know, and investigate them, you know. And I'm sure in the last 25 years, I've funded quite a few pensions with the filing information on me and trying to determine who all my contacts are. These guys have made a lot of money listening in on me, and they won't even take me fishing. You know.
Well, you know something.
Well,
it's all run now. Instead of a person sitting looking at a case file, they've got artificial intelligence that does all the, I guess you'd call it legwork, and then presents a single report and a list of people.
Yeah, that's what X-Keyscore is.
From the way I understand things.
Yeah, X-Keyscore, as depicted in the movie Snowden, if you watch it, it goes by pretty quick, but it shows the graphing technique that they use to show the weighted, the contacts around a target that are weighted by different sized circles and lines, you know, how distant the contact is versus
right.
how many times you contact them.
Right.
You know, so it's all automated in the graphing technique, but I did read that or hear that Texas was looking at using a National Guard, but yeah, I think it was just in Houston. But Houston has I think it's something like 4 million people in the greater Houston area. Maybe 1.5 million of those are undocumented. So that's quite an ambitious program to go door to door. And as we found here in Kentucky in this ice storm, for every mile you drive to town, like if you live 10 miles from town, there's 10 square miles off to the left of you and 10 square miles off to the right of you. So if you drive 10 miles to town, there's 20 square miles to deal with on either side of you, and with infrastructure that's got to be fixed, phone lines and power lines and stuff like that. And so
right.
without a lot of volunteers, there's these rural co-ops and stuff like that, people don't realize how much time it takes. I think there's still people in West Virginia from this ice storm that don't have power yet. The governor just took a tour yesterday of part of eastern Kentucky, and they're still dealing with this stuff with this ice storm. I see trucks running all the time over here. You know, we were hit much harder than I think that woman was out in western Kentucky. It's overwhelming. It doesn't take a lot to overwhelm our government. I'll just say that.
No,
if we were to have. Here comes the tornado season now. I hope that we don't have anything that uh, further overwhelms the government, and they've privatized a lot of it. If you look, every time there's a disaster, there's all these private corporations that show up with their own army of people doing stuff, you know. Anyway, I'll let you go, guys.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you for your call, Mike.
Oh, one more thing real quick. One more thing real quick. On these sleeping techniques, that woman talked about sleeping. If you try to concentrate on a breathing technique to where you try to breathe as deep as you can and then let it out as slow as you can and count. I mean, you can say the Our Fathers or you can, pray whatever's on your mind, you know. Like
you can.
That humble, what did you call that prayer about humility?
It was the litany. It's the litany of humility.
Litany of humility. So whatever you got memorized, you can do that, or you can count, or try to say your ABCs, but concentrate on breathing, and within usually about 20 minutes, if you're breathing, and sometimes less than 10 breaths like that, where you're just counting to 10 slowly as you breathe in and breathe out, you'll put yourself back to sleep.
You will.
You
just got to quit.
Here for that.
Got to quit spinning. You got to quit spinning in your head.
I was stepping on you, Rick. Say that again. I didn't know I was stepping on you.
You got to quit spinning. Yeah, quit dancing to your own song. Shut up, and pray or whatever. But you got to quit. You got to quit going over a list of things that you're afraid of, or you'll be up all night.
Right. Yeah. See you guys.
All right, thank you, Mike. You know, Rick, what I do is if I'm having a hard time sleeping, I just say, Jesus, please let me have a good night's sleep. And it almost always works.
Well, you might have to say it more than once. Sometimes he's busy with another caller. Yeah, sometimes he's listening to another 150 million people who can't get to sleep. Am I going to do the eight forms of capital, or what are we doing here?
Let's
go quick, because I want to get something else in here.
Okay, we have Tom in Utah on line 9. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, gang. Hey, back in the talking about the tomatoes, I may have shared this story with you before, and you'll find it rather strange coming from a vegan, you know, a wacko like me. But it's the chicken and the tomato story. Most people don't realize that the most effective and safest pesticide you can have in your garden is the chicken or the duck. But, of course, sometimes they start. So my father used to create a garden with a fence around the garden, of course. And when the garden was just coming up out of the ground, he would make sure the chickens ran through that area to go after the grubs. And then a little later, when the tomato hornworms show up, to run the chickens through the garden again. But then he also built an inner, like a moat, a fence moat around the garden. And the chickens had full run of the moat all during the season. And they would capture any grasshopper or any bug that was on its way towards the garden. Periodically, we'd turn the chickens into the garden, but once they got rid of all the insects, they'd then start pecking at the tomatoes or whatever else. And that's when you had to shoosh them out and put them back in the moat around the garden. So anyway, I just wanted to say that the chicken and the tomato are excellent partners when you manage those chickens the right way.
Right. I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. We don't ever put them in the garden itself, or at least we've never tried it. There's no reason not to. But we've got some chickens that we keep penned, some that are free range, and our garden is right next to the chicken house and the chicken coop. And we'll let the chickens, go around there and nail them.
Yeah, I think we even shared with you the idea of a chicken truck. In other words, kind of a cage with wheels on it. You can move around. Mm-hmm. If you got a pest problem somewhere, you can just take them over there and they'll clean it up.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, that's all I wanted to contribute, to just the fact that the chicken and the tomato are good partners. Well, as long as you manage the chicken.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Yeah, appreciate your call, buddy.
Thank you.
Anyway, Rick, let's get to that eight forms of capital. I think that's important.
Well, we only have a minute, so I'll hit it real quick.
You're fine. We're going to skip it.
Oh, well, cool. Eight forms of capital and the Crisco candle. Yeah, I call this eight forms of capital and the Crisco candle. There are people on the internet who put a wick in a can of Crisco, and they say that that will burn for 72 days. What I want to know is why. Why don't you have a candle? Why don't you have an oil lamp? Why are you wasting your Crisco?
Right.
I know this sounds tricky. I know it sounds clever. Maybe it gets you some clicks. But look, you need oil lamps. You need candles. You need to have Crisco, and the Crisco should be used for cooking, not lighting the house.
Agreed.
So just shoot me. The eight forms of capital are financial, materials, social capital, which this is kind of abstruse. That is to say, the social capital includes trust and other things. Natural living systems capital, natural capital, experiential capital, intellectual capital, spiritual capital, and cultural capital. What they will do, if you're filling out a net worth form, the first two, your financial and your materials, which would include, say, your house. So your net worth would basically just be those two. But it's, you know, there is no substitute for experience or skills. That would be skills. So, you know, you might be an electrician. You might be a gardener. You could be a welder. You could have all those skills. The more of those skills you possess, the more experience you have. This is all very, very important capital. If we're going where I think we're going, this could be a big deal. I warned you to get sober, and I'm dead serious about that. The debt clock alone has it at $4,077 an ounce, okay? There is, however, a YouTube video out there called $65,000 Gold, $84,000 Silver in 2022. $84,000 silver. Silver is more scarce than gold. Silver is an industrial metal. Silver is necessary for anything green. Silver is necessary for phones, computers, solar panels, electric cars.
A lot of medicine.
Anything like this. Anything like this. So if you can find ounces of silver somewhere, you better get it, because if you don't, you're going to be sorry. And Tim and I talked about this before the show. 84,000, one tube of silver, which is going to be 20 ounces, that's $1,000,006, okay? $1,600,000, not $1,006. $1,000,000, that's more than $1.5 million in a tube. The only thing we don't know is whether or not that would get you like a loaf of bread. We don't know some of these things, and we're not going to find out for a while. That would be capital number one, the financial capital, which would include fiat currency, gold, silver, platinum, palladium, Bitcoin, whatever. However you're storing wealth, however you're doing it, that is financial capital. We get people calling up arguing that Bitcoin isn't one of those. I can assure you, you're wrong. You are taking on the likes of Max Kaiser, Michael Saylor, BNY Mellon Bank, MasterCard, Visa, the city of Miami, other sovereign nations that are storing or hiding money there, PayPal, Grayscale, all kinds of Square, all kinds of payment systems. There are hundreds and hundreds of major corporations with people that they have hired, financial gurus for the size of the brain, and these people are guiding these companies through taking money out of things like U.S. bonds. By the way, investment-grade bond right now is paying negative 2.5. Investment-grade bond loses 2.5. That's an investment-grade bond. Is that an investment? I don't get that. It's an investment you make that you lose money on.
Well, repos were at negative 4.15.
Yep. Yeah, so you can see where this is going, and this is exactly why they're forcing these companies to find places to put money where it's not just dissolving. So whatever you say about Bitcoin, and you don't have to have it if you don't want it, but whatever you say about it, it is one of the forms of financial capital, and I think you're going to find going forward that it's going to be a force to be reckoned with. I think the only thing that might get in its way would be a gold-backed dollar or gold-backed currency of any kind. That may be an interesting situation, something that I just do not have the mentality to unfold. What do we got for time?
About 3 minutes.
Well, I guess I better slip in a prayer here then.
Yeah, please.
Yeah. We will do that. Prayer from St. Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, and it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.
Thank you, Rick. That was quite appropriate.
Yep. That's okay.
Any other closing thoughts, buddy?
No, but I do think you are maybe just weeks away from not being able to get sober. I think you're gonna. I think if you don't do it, you're not going to get to. Sober is still. Kind of for sale, is being manipulated by the central banks. So that's a good thing for you for the moment. But once the ship leaves port, you're not getting on it anymore.
Yeah, and I sure wouldn't worry about that 12 to 20% premium that the dealers are putting on it. I mean, that's chicken feed compared to where we know silver's going. Because we're consuming
even if it only goes to 4,000, doesn't that do it? Doesn't that float your boat?
Oh yeah. Okay, Rory, closing thoughts, real quick, sweetie.
As always, remember our men and women in uniform and their families, the homeless, the elderly, and please pray for our nation because we need it. And.
Well, yes, we do. Oh, boy, do we.
God bless our listeners and our callers, and thank you to our sponsor, Extendivite. Other than that, everybody have a safe week, and God bless.
Thank you. Okay, folks, we are very close to the end of the show. Please keep in mind what Rick was saying about silver. I absolutely agree with him. It's very difficult for me to buy, I know for a fact, and I'm an avid silver buyer. Please take that to heart. And I hope everybody has a fantastic week. Like Ori said, please pray for our nation. And even if you don't like him, which I don't, pray for our president. You know, he is running the country. Pray for him to be guided in a good way by where he's going now. But keep your head on a swivel, folks. You know, maintain your situation awareness in every aspect and facet of your life. You know, you can train yourself to do it without even thinking about it after a while, where you do it constantly. So that's a very important point. Okay, folks, we're going to be back same time, same channel next week, hopefully. And stay safe and pray constantly. May God bless America. Bye-bye, folks.